I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm working at becoming a better follower of Jesus. And I'm having victory over internet pornography and codependency. My name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
I was born in 1947. And looking back at my life and preparing for this testimony and for step four in the step study, I feel like a word that would best describe how my mind works is the word rebellious, meaning resistant to authority or tradition. I have been rebellious toward parents, towards my wife, towards school, and towards the church, and by my actions towards God. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, 16, "Do not love the world nor things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." In my rebelliousness toward God, I have loved all of these things of the world. James 4:4 says, "Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I have been an enemy of God. But a couple of verses later, it says, "He gives a greater grace." I praise God that His grace is greater than my rebelliousness. I was born into a Christian home. I have one older sister. My mother was 17 when she married my father, who was 24. My father was a band teacher. When I was 3, he decided to enter the ministry and went to seminary. He became a pastor in a very strict denomination. So strict that sex was frowned upon because it might lead to dancing. So obviously we weren't allowed to dance. However, I am confessing tonight that I secretly tapped my foot to Rick Nelson when he sang on Ozzie and Harriet on our black and white TV. That is rebellion. Some of you may have to Google that. This was in the 50s. In the 50s, there used to be these week-long revival meetings. When I was about 8, I went forward to one of those and accepted Christ. By way of illustration, the evangelist held up a 50-cent piece and offered it as a gift to anyone who would just come and get it. A good way to show Christ's gift. So that night, I got 50 cents and I got saved. The revival was held at my father's first church in Winters, California. In the Northwest, pastors commonly only survived about 2 years in each church, and that was our case up until I was in junior high. We moved every 1 or 2 years. I didn't form any close relationships, but that didn't bother me much until junior high. When I started junior high, we were living in San Diego. I loved San Diego, and I particularly loved my junior high. I felt that I was finally in a perfect situation. I was in that school for one quarter, and then we moved to Toledo, Oregon, a town of 2,800 people. I went to a junior high that was on a hill above a paper mill. The mill stunk, and so did my life. And as luck would have it, my father was in that church for 30 years. I was stuck in that small town until I went to college. My father was a perfectionist. He might have been obsessive compulsive, but that was before labels. He was always pushing me to perfection. He failed miserably. I worked at being imperfect just to get back at him. There's that rebellion again. One time, that church was tearing down a house to make room for a new building. The men got to tear it apart. I felt that I could be good at that. Even today, I'm good at demolition. But the boys were assigned to pick up the mess they made. I thought that was below me, so I just left and walked home. What a rebel. My dad came after me and made me go back. I was ticked. I didn't know how to handle his control at all. However, one time when I was at the church with my dad during the week, I took a dump in the baptistry. Yes, you heard me. Number two in the baptistry. But probably excusable because I was only in the seventh grade and also there was no water in it. While living in that town, I also discovered dirty magazines and started toward down the path that ultimately led to internet porn. I was a very rebellious kid toward my parents and the church. Being the pastor's kid, I was always on display. And it was my observation that the people of that church were not very loving. I guess I went to too many business meetings. I had not yet learned that all churches are full of sinners. My observations about those people were probably not true, but that's how it felt to me. I vowed to myself that when I left home, I was going to leave the church as well. And that is exactly what I did. I was 17, and the next time I would go to church was when I was 33. So there. I should mention that I did meet a girl from a Baptist family and went to church with her for a short while. She became my first wife. So I got that taken care of. So now we could get back out of the church. It was a close call. Backing up, I was going to college, but I was always in a hurry. I just wanted to get on with things. So I went year-round to school. I burned out after four straight terms and quit school and went home. And I worked in that stinking paper mill for one quarter. And after that, I never burned out again. One term, I took 23 credit hours. I didn't do too well that term. I graduated in 3 years with a lousy GPA at age 20. And then got married. We got married in August. My mother was always on my case about staying in school so that I wouldn't get drafted. But I showed my mother who was in control. I joined the army. Talk about rebellion. It was a deferred entry program. And so 6 months later, 5 months later, in January 1969, I went into the army. The drill was worse than my father's perfectionism. I was very upset with the system there. In January of 1969, peace negotiations were happening in Paris, so I was sure I would end up in Germany and would spend my time tooling around Europe. That was in 1969. The war ended in 1974. So no European vacation. I went to Vietnam. I was assigned to a 155 howitzer battalion. I believe now that God was with me over there, and here's why. I was there for 1 year. Every time that we moved to a new location, the place we just left got attacked. There was only one time that I was still at a location that got attacked, and that happened in the night. I slept through the entire attack. When I woke up at 2 a.m., to go on my shift, everyone was freaked out and scared, but the attack was over, and I never heard a single thing. But I walked around, and I could see body parts and dead Viet Cong in the perimeter, barbed wire, but I never heard a thing. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I didn't know it at the time, but God was definitely protecting me. After that year, I got home and got out of the army 4 days later. The next day, I dropped my army uniform in a St. Vincent de Paul donation box. I wish now that I had it back, but that was me. Prior to going in the army, I was married for 5 months. Once I left for the army, I only saw my wife for 10 days in the next 19 months. When I got home from Vietnam, I discovered that my wife had a couple of other relationships while I was gone. When I discovered this, I didn't get mad, but I did use it as a perfect excuse to do the same thing. So we both did what we wanted with who we wanted for the next 6 years and finally divorced after 8 years of marriage. During those years, I completed an MBA and got a solid career going. Fortunately, we had no kids. I was getting more and more into porn during all this time. I also was drinking a lot. I had started drinking in college, but it was definitely accelerating. After the divorce, I was kind of out of control. I moved to LA for a job change, and my job sent me to Washington, D.C. I borrowed the rental car and stayed out all night and almost didn't get back to pick up the other guys. My boss was ticked off, and when we got back to LA, I got fired. I was there for about 2 months when I was let go. I drank and acted out and laid around the pool until my rent ran out. Then I moved back to Portland and lived with friends while I was figuring out what to do next. My next move was a temporary job with a local CPA firm. While there for a short time, I met my second wife. We worked together on a project and talked a lot. I had made a list of things I wanted if I were ever going to get married again, so that I wouldn't marry the same person again. One of the things on my list was that she would be adventurous and not boring. When I met her, she was on crutches with a broken foot, which I asked about. She broke it skydiving. Whoa. Check that one off. That was in 1978. I was 30 and she was 22. And we've been married now for 36 years. So. We have two girls and five grandkids. Having kids got me to thinking about what we should teach them about religion as they grew up. We didn't want to just let them grow up and figure it out for themselves. Of course, that's exactly what happened anyway. I still had negative feelings about the church, so I decided to write out why I felt that way, kind of reason it out for myself, and then be able to share it with others. The idea was kind of an anti-church manifesto. I thought, to be intellectually honest, I should read the Bible to recall what it said. So I bought a New American Standard Bible, and I started in 1 John, then the Gospel of John, and then started straight through from Genesis. At 33, that was the first time I had read a Bible other than the King James. I could actually understand it. And of course, it was the first time in 16 years that I had read any Bible. God was definitely in control of my thinking. He basically tricked me into hearing him. I fell in love with the Word of God. I was totally caught up in the clearness and power of it. We were living in San Jose at the time, and I would get up real early and leave home at 5:30 to avoid a long commute. That got me to work at 6, but I didn't start work until 8. So for the next year, I would spend 2 hours a day having breakfast while reading commentaries and the Bible. I remembered that I had been taught all these things in Sunday school, but they took on a new life. Then I came to Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. These words hit me like a brick. I had grown up in the church and been saved at 8, but had never said that Jesus is Lord. I knew that I not only had to believe that, but that I had to tell someone. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. There was no way to be a secret Christian. So I went home that night, I told my wife I needed to tell her something, and I said, today I decided that I want Jesus to be my Lord. This hit her like a brick. It turns out that she had also been saved at a youth camp when she was young and that she wanted to pursue this with me. I also called my father, the pastor, and told him of my decisions as well. I really had to swallow my pride for that call. I believe that I am proof of Proverbs 22:6. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that led us to get back into worship with the church and more Bible. That led to more growth, and we took on a home group, and I taught adult Sunday school and things like that. Shortly after that, I gave up my beer habit. I was drinking a six-pack every night, and then I almost rolled my car one night. I was always pretty out of it after New Year's Eve's parties. So one of my resolutions that year was to stop drinking. I never prayed about it. I just figured I could handle it myself. I had some alcohol on New Year's Eve, not much, but I woke up sober, and that was it. I didn't even know about AA, and there probably wasn't a CR then. I did stop, and I haven't had a drink for about 30 years. I guess that God was my sponsor on that one. And unrelated to AA or CR, I made something like an amends to one of my bosses for being a jerk to him. Over the next year, I made a lot of positive life changes after giving up drinking. However, porn was still a part of my life. I never asked God for help with that. I wanted to keep that hidden. And I was pretty good at hiding it. I was never caught in the act, and nobody ever searched my computer or anything like that. Not only that, I didn't even realize that it was having a serious effect on my relationship with God and with others. I'll skip ahead a bunch of years. The kids grew up and they had their kids. We always attended churches and served in various ministries. But through all those years, I was still involved with porn. It grew from magazines to movies and then finally to the internet. Unfortunately, the internet made it easier to have this secret life. I could sneak into it way easier. I never considered that it would be harmful to anyone. The men's group that I was in had a talk on porn on a Saturday breakfast, at a Saturday breakfast. I didn't want to hear that, so I didn't go. But I knew that it was a sin, and even if there was no specific verse, James 4:17 says, "To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." There's no escaping that. I knew that the right thing to do was to stop, but I didn't. I hung my hat on 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I confessed my sin to him every day. I even thanked him for forgiving me despite my own unwillingness or inability to quit sinning. I thank him now daily for his grace. So how did Celebrate Recovery help me in all this? Several years back, we found out that our daughter was an alcoholic. She had her own life, and we weren't seeing any of the signs. We had no clue. We first heard from her husband. By this time, it had gone a long way, and this turned out to put us on a life-changing path of recovery for her and for ourselves. For a while, I was in denial, but soon came to understand the magnitude of her problem. She went to rehab, and while she was there, we were exposed to recovery programs. I began to go to Al-Anon, and I'm still active there. We also noticed that Rolling Hills had something called Celebrate Recovery. We were hoping to help get our daughter into a Christian-based program, and that was our codependency. We invited her to CR, and we came along with her for encouragement. Although she liked CR, she needed to stay involved with her program, and so she stopped coming. But I was kind of hooked by that time. I was focusing on codependency and was growing there. I liked my group. Celebrate Recovery has had two major impacts on my life. The first is the worship time and the reading of the Beatitudes. For a long time, I just read along without even really hearing the words. I wasn't sure how CR really worked anyway, but I was looking for something that I could actually do, and what hit me was number 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will. Remember all that Bible time and the time I spent coming to know Jesus as Lord? Where did I fall off on that? My wife always asked me, "What are you pretending not to know?" Okay, I know why I fell off. I let time on the computer squeeze out time in the Word. I just stopped reading. I loved doing it, but I stopped. Sin took its place, and I knew I needed to start in again. I didn't want to overcommit and do anything like a step study, which that seemed a little too scary. By the way, it's not scary at all. But I could do number 7. So I Googled Bible studies, and I found a Read the Bible in 2 Years program. I printed it off. On October 4th, 2012, I started in. What I've done is to read the passage every day, pray, then read something from another book about a subject in the Bible. I had to learn again how to pray. And I was trying to learn how to listen. I would meditate on my readings and wait for God to speak to me. As yet, I haven't actually heard his voice, but I have definitely felt his presence. The reading I was doing was speaking to me. I haven't missed a day since. It started out as just discipline, but it has now become a way of life. I look forward to my time in the Word every day. And now, when we do the Beatitudes, I definitely hear number 7. And now I'm thinking about listening to the other Beatitudes too. I still deal with rebelliousness. The second important thing that happened to me at CR was that I heard another guy's testimony regarding his addiction to porn. I had never heard anyone talk so openly about pornography and the damage it caused his life and relationships. I was moved by that testimony and felt that I needed to switch groups into the sexual issues group, but I was embarrassed to do that and concerned about being open about my problem. But then I realized that nobody at CR knows which room I go to in after worship, and particularly my family, so I wouldn't have to explain to my wife. So I finally switched groups. That was about 2 years ago, and that was the first time I had ever told another person that I had a problem with pornography. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." So that's what I did. It was a safe place to be and a safe place to share. I finally did a step study and got to understand the closeness that men can have by being together and sharing. I really had to look hard at my life. During that time, I finally confessed to my wife that I was in the sexual issues group and was working on becoming victorious over pornography. That was scary for me. She told me that she was proud of me and wished more men would step up like that. Finally, I am having victory over lifelong habit, and I continue to grow closer to my wife and to my God every day. At the beginning of this year in CR, there was a teaching on denial, and even though I was making progress in recovery, I felt that there were issues I wasn't facing up to, so I recommitted to recovery that night. On that new track, I have 158 days. I will close with these verses that help strengthen me in my walk. Romans 5:5 says, "We exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint." And James 4:7-8 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." I'm not perfect for sure, but I am victorious over porn. My prayer is to draw closer to God every day. Celebrate Recovery can change your life, and it will change it if you engage. The worship time will help you get closer to God. The sharing in small groups will help you to grow closer to others and to learn and even give back to others. The step studies provide a process that enables you to look deeply at your life and your spirituality, and all of this strengthens you in working through your hurts and habits and hang-ups. It's not just a slogan. It's a truth. To newcomers, I say, keep coming back. To those of you around for a while, I would say thank you for your service and your impact on my life. Thank you for letting me share.